Perkman Bays and Perkman Gimel, we're literally going to run through it. I really don't want to spend that much time because, number one, it's difficult stuff to understand. And number two, it's not stuff that we're going to spend any time on. So literally, I'm going to read through it in a quicker fashion. We're going through the northern courtyard, then the chambers inside, the chambers on the inside, and then the eastern side. And then we're going to talk about how the Shekhinah came inside. And then Gimel is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be very interesting over here. But Nembeis goes like this. Okay, so I'm going to literally read it through like this. So the Malach took me, this is referring to Yechezkel, he took me to the outer courtyard in the direction of going to the north. And he brought me to the chamber, Asher Negra Gizra, that was opposite the main base of Mitzvah, Negra Binyan Alatzafon, opposite the structure toward the north. Right, facing the 100 cubit length, that's by the northern entrance, the Chatzar's width was 50 amos altogether.
Diagram?
No, I don't think so, but check if he does. Negru Asrim, Asher Lachatzar Afnimi, and Pasuk Gimel, opposite the 20 amos that were by the inner courtyard, the Negru Ritzba, Asher Lachatzar Achitzon, and opposite the balcony of the outer courtyard, Atik Alpnei Atik Bashlishim, there was a pillar opposite a pillar in a three-storied complex. The Livnei Lishchois in front of those chambers, you got it?
Mm-hmm. So let's look at this over here. Let's see if we can figure out what we're talking about. You know what? Everybody grab one. We all have that knot right in front of us. We'll share.
You and I will share.
No, I got it. I can look in the back over here. What page are we on?
This is much different than the second edition.
Oh, you got two?
Yeah.
What do we got? What page is it? 2042, everybody. 2042. Look what we got over here. Yeah, correct. I mean, the numbers, everything is totally different. Here, look how it is. You have the Aron and the Kodesh right over here. The Kodesh of Kedashim, you see right over there. The Ulam is right in front of it. And look at these Lishchos. The northwest chamber, the southwest chamber, southeast chamber, the northeast chamber. You see that everything is a square as opposed to a rectangle, which is what Harabayas used to be.
Yeah,
you see the northern gate?
You mean that this outer fence is Harabayas, or maybe it's gate around the base on Harabayas?
You are correct. I just mean on Harabayas as opposed to what was
also
before.
When they built the second base, I mean, they had these four chambers were over here, right? Were to the east of the base.
Correct.
So maybe, I mean, that's the way they understood this.
Meaning where what we call the, you know, not the Azara, but what would have been called the Ezra's Nashen.
So
that's what they called it.
Could be that that's how the way they understood it, because this is the diagram according to Rashi, but maybe they understood it like...
No, because that was a Haggai is going to be different. Does he have a picture of the second? He doesn't. He doesn't have it.
But you can see a picture of the second one.
It does go all the way through. This is interesting. So let's see if we can figure this out right now. What he's talking about right now, took me to the outer courtyard in the direction going to the north. Where's the outer courtyard? There we go. In the direction going to the north. That's toward this way, if everybody sees right over there. And the Ulam. Everybody see the Ulam with the two pillars on the side, right in front, right over there? So let's see what we got over here. In Pasuk Dalad, the Nablish was Malach Eser Amos Roch, Balokmimim Derech Ama Achas, Vizchayim Latzafon. In front of the chambers, right, was a passageway that was 10 Amos in length, leading to the inner space through a one cubit path, and the entrance is faced north. Right over there, I would believe it's right over here. I think it's like that. I don't know what it means that the entrance is faced north. How is that possible?
What's that you're reading?
It's the Wheel of Dalit. How are the entrances facing north if northeast would have been right there? This is the eastern gate. I'm not so sure how that would have been. The Pasuk Hei, V'alushachis al Yonas Kitzuros.
No, I think this is what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. That each one of these chambers have a doorway to the north?
Well, that would be hard also.
But if it's here, this doesn't show that here.
No, I don't know what that is exactly. Look what it says in Hei. V'alushachis al Yonas Kitzuros. So the upper chambers were very narrow. Kiyuklo atikim heino me'ataktonos me'atichonos me'atichonos binyan. So what does it say? At the end, it says, because the pillars took up space from them, from the lower and the middle ones of this structure. So apparently there were pillars in the middle that were very narrow, and they weren't as big. I guess that's those things right inside there, where you see the 2.5, 2.10, etc. That's what it looks like over there. Let's see what we can...
Then there was a gap.
There was a gap in between. In between where and where?
5.2. There's a gap and a walkway.
5.2. Wait, where's 5.2?
On 2143, there's a...
No, I'm looking forward to the map. Oh. The map itself. 5-1. Where's 5-2? 5-3. I know it's where 5-2 is. Oh, I see. Right over there. There's the gap. Right over there from the Chatzar Pnimi toward the chambers over there. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Oh, that makes sense. 6-2. Look in 6-2. Maybe that's what it's referring to.
I don't know where these numbers are coming. How do you get these numbers?
They go to the
they're
other
all
side.
Reference,
all referencing on that side. So let's see what else we have over here. Matzachonis Binyan. So there were pillars in the middle. Look above. Kimishu Lashos Hena. They were They were three storied. The Hain Lahena Mudin Kamudia Chatzeres. They didn't have the pillars like the Chatzeres had. Okay, Netzel Matzachonis Matzachonis Me'aretz. Therefore, they took up spaces on the ground. Right? The Gadar Asher Lachutz Lumas Lashachis. Right? So in Pasuk Zion, the wall that faced the outside opposite the chambers. It says Derech HaChatzer HaChitzon. It was toward the direction of the outer courtyard. Up in Elishach was right by the chambers itself. Or Kol Kamish Mamad. That was also 50 Amos. So I'm not so sure what this Gadar was, this fence that was 50 Amos. It really could be anywhere around here. What's 6'5"? That was... I don't know if they have the Cheshbon. Does anybody see a 50 Amos wall that goes through here? I would assume it's this, right over there. But I can't tell exactly what the sizes are over here. Okay, it's difficult to be able to see. Ki orach l'shachlis, it says in Pasuk Chet, asher l'chotzer achizan ha-chamish mam, v'nei al-pnei ha-heichol, e-mea amah. On top of the full front of the heichol, there were 100 amos. It says, nitachas l'shachlis ha-ileh, ha-mevi me'akadim b'bo'o. Under these, downhill from these chambers, as you come from the east, right, coming toward them from the outer chambers, rechov geder ha-chotzer, right by the width of the fence of the chotzer derech ha-kadim, toward the east, al-pnei ha-gizra, toward the opposite, the main building, al-pnei ha-binyan l'shachlis. There were other chambers. There was a passage before them. They appeared like the chambers of Jederach HaTzafon that was by the north. Orkin came rough on the same length, the same width. All the doors, all their going outs, whatever, everything that you had over there was the same thing over here. Lishkos Asher Derech HaDrom, those that were in the south. There was a door that came out in the front of the path, I think that's what it is. There was an entrance, the main approach. There is a gina, right? A road that led to the platform. Asher pnei gizra, hagina, derech hakad b'mo'an. Apparently, that's where all the singers were. It was an easternly path as they entered. But anyway, lie. So the Malach said to me, lishkos ha-tzafon, lishkos ha-derom, asher pnei gizra, in a lishkos ha-kodesh. These chambers on the north and the south that were right by the main temple building, in a lishkos kodesh, they are holy places. That's where the Kohanim are going to eat their Kodesh HaKadoshim, like the Chatzos and the Yashim, etc. Shom Yanichu Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's where they will leave their Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Mincha, the Chatzos, the Yashim, Ki HaMakom Kodesh. That's the Mincha, the Chatzos, and the Yashim, because the place is holy. I forgot about the Menachos as well. If all kind of will yitzim HaKodesh HaKadosh HaKadosh, they kind of will arrive there. They're not going to go out directly into the outer courtyard. Shom Yanichu be Gamashir Shosim, and they're going to use their clothing that they serve in there. They'll leave them there. Ki Kodesh, because that's a holy place. The love should be good enough. The Kodesh HaKadosh HaKadosh. They have to wear other clothing in order to go to the rest of the people. The Kohanim could not use their big day kahuna to go outside the Beis. You know, this is a law that Yechezkel teaches us that we knew from Misora before Yechezkel said it out loud. There were some laws like that. One of them is this, that the Kohanim cannot use their big day kahuna outside the Beis Hamikdash for no reason, right, or outside the Kodesh for no reason. So before they came close to the people, they had to change. Chilas Midos Abayis Apanimi. When he finished measuring the measurements of the inner house, Abayis Apanimi, Botiani Derech Hashar, he brought me out to the Gedesh Shapon of Derech HaKadim, those toward the east, and he measured it all around. Modad Ruach HaKadim B'Knei Amidah, he measured the eastern side with that little measuring stick that he had. Hamesh Meos Kanim B'Knei Amidah Sabi, it was 500 rods with that Midah. Okay, and we said that the rod was 6 Amos, I believe.
Wait, so this wall over here is 500 by 500?
That's what it says, but 500 times 6, because the rod was 6 Amos, if I remember correctly. Right, that was the question, because it seemed to say 6 Amos per, you know, rod. So 3,000 Amos altogether would make sense if we have a Cheshbon around there. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is bigger, much bigger. We have 180 by 2-something, I think, was the regular Beis HaMikdash. Either way, regardless, can you have Saviv. Modad Ruach HaTzafon Chamesh Meos Kanim B'Knei Amidah Saviv. It's Ruach Dom Modad Chamesh Meos Kanim B'Knei Amidah. Savo Ruach HaYom Modad Chamesh Meos Kanim B'Knei Amidah. V'av Ruach L'medado Chomo Lo Saviv Saviv Orach Chamesh Meos V'Ruach Chamesh Meos V'Av Ben HaKodesh L'Chol. There were 500 by 500 to separate between the Kodesh and the Chol. Again, either it's 500 Amos or it's 500 times 6 Amos. However, we learned that Modad, that Midah from all the way up above. Actually, if everybody could look up a little bit, let's see if we can figure out what the actual thing was. Where is it? Here we go. The vision.
Dalet, I think.
Here we go. It was 6 cubits. Each amma was an amma and an extra tefach. So it was actually longer than 6 ammas. It would have been 7 ammas, right? Altogether. So it's 7 times 500 altogether. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Unless we're messing up here, but it does lead up to 3,500 amos all the way around.
The current temple mount, and remember they added on in the south.
Yeah.
Is 406. Well, it's uneven, but it's basically 488 on one side, 470 on the other side, and then 315 on one side, and 280 on the other side. So what's the average of these? 300 by 470.
Feet?
Meters.
Meters, so that's dealing with times by 3. So we're dealing with, let's say 400 is going to be 1,200 altogether. Right, so that's about 1,200 on one side. So if we're dealing with, if we're correct on this, and 500 is multiplied by, you know, by 7, so it's 3,500 altogether. 3,500 amos. That's almost 5,000 feet. That's more than the mount that's there. So either the temple mount is going to have to extend, or we're wrong in our midos. I mean, but I don't see what's wrong. If we've said 7 amos over here. Part mem, plus a k. And the one over here is the whole parsha over here. So that's interesting. Altogether, it says the ruach hamishmael is kind of the amida. Yeah, la abruch is medado chomelo saviv saviv orach hamishmael ruach hamishmael is la'atim and akurim kol. That's separated. Okay, I mean that's what it says over here. That's what we have over here. Is there any measures that they say over here? I don't know. I don't think they do. Did anybody see anything when we went? Nothing.
No, it's just references. A legend.
It would be unbelievable. Okay, we'd have to go through everything. Okay, this is why the Miamois didn't do it. He just was like, all right, forget it. It's too much. I don't know.
Well, it says Midos 4-7 assigns the width of what you said before.
What is it?
No, it says the 6 cubits that is implied.
Oh, 6 cubits? He says 6, though? Where do you have it?
Right
here, 4-11. So it's 4-11 assigns the width of 6 cubits. But it's interesting because we said it was 6 amos and an extra tefach. But maybe that means like the normal 6 amos of the basic mixture is always bigger than the other. That's awesome. But you know what? Maybe the whole Temple Mount will be bigger. Maybe they'll be able to
extend it a little bit. That's the case talking about the water on the Temple Mount.
No, but that was the meat. That was the kind of the meat that the Malach had that he showed him. We're talking about the kind of meat over here. He used the kind of meat to be able to measure everything.
It says it narrowed at top also. By force.
I'm sorry?
It says it narrowed at top.
Narrowed at top? Oh, yeah, but that might be a little bit different. I don't make it like that. Yeah, I think that might be different. I don't know. If it's bigger than what we have now, I think, yeah. Tomorrow we'll take care of it. V'yolichinu l'shar. Now, we're starting Perek Mem Gimel over here. So, V'yolichinu l'shar. He brought me over to the gate. Let me get it down over here so I can get the Rashi's down. So, he brought me over to the gate. This is again, the Malach was brought over to the gate. Now, we're explaining what happens when the Beis Mikdash is actually going to be inhabited by the Shechina. What happened at that point? Do I have this messed up over here? Here we go. Shar is your opponent, Derech Hasdim, the gate that went toward the east, facing the east. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come from the east. That's interesting because remember in the first two Batei Mikdash, the Shechina was in the west. Right? That's what we always said. Here the Shechina is coming from the east. The noise will be like many rushing waters. Right? The land is going to shine from the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to come forth from over there. The vision that I saw when I saw the vision of the city, that which I saw when he came to destroy the city of Eretz Yisrael. And the Maros that I saw by Nar Kavar, therefore I fell down to my face. What do you have over here?
The Radak says it was 3,000.
3,000?
Yeah.
So that's if we do it by 6 as opposed to 7. Okay, we do. We have the Radak saying 3,000 amos.
3,000.
Yeah. But it's weird because it did say an Amen et Tepach, so unless it was something that was. Okay. Regardless, it doesn't matter when it comes to that. Oh, I remember something about that. The Amen of the Beis Mikdash, the normal Amen was 5 Tefachim, and the Amen of the Beis Mikdash was 6, so maybe it meant Amen of Tofach as in like the full Amen. All right, regardless, look at how many times it says the word Ra'ah. And the word ra, how many times it appears in the pasuk? Do you see it over here? Mare hamare, ra'isi kamare, ra'isi, maros, that's 2, mare, ra'isi, al nar kavar, that was 9 altogether. That could be that it's a reference to how many times a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, spoke to, what's it called? Spoke to Yechazkel. But look at this over here. Look at Rashi and Gimel. Teisha maros tuv mikrazeh. Mitokan are you rowing in a vim chutz Moshe Rabbeinu, shay ro mitok mara achas. That's where, these were the amount of maros that Yechazkel needed in order to get himself to the level to see the vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He needed to jump up levels in order to get there, while opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see it all in one vision. system. Let's give an example. Everybody's on this Gemara in Brachos. It's toward the beginning, so it's a Gemara that everybody should know. It says that Michoel takes one flight to come down to Earth. Gabriel takes two, Eliyahu takes four, and the Malchum Avos takes eight. That a person, right, somebody on the level of Yechazkel, would be the ninth, so to speak, to be one more than everybody else, to be able to be one extra more than everybody else. It was hard. It was difficult to be able to get there. Oh, that's a strong smell, dude. All right, so now, says the following. So we got those models right there.
Is it a midrash where somebody says that Mashiach, there's that Yerushalayim becomes the Harabayit, and Harabayit is the Beis Hamikdash?
The Gemara. The Gemara is going to say that.
So maybe it's based on this.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I said that it's going to extend, and we'll see it from there. That idea, that Gemara, but it's for sure a midrash, so it's called.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it certainly is referring to. Dalit. Kodesh and Bol of Ice, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to that Beis Hamikdash through that gate, Asher upon him Derech HaZin. Now, we've had this before, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a gate in the first and second Beis Hamikdash toward the west that no one could use, because that was, so to speak, the Shechina's gate in order to get in, that they ended up using. This gate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming in this time is going to be on the eastern side. Now, look what it says. We all know this line over here, Batzaini Ruach, Batzaini Elach HaSarapanini. The wind picked me up. This is the seventh time it happened to Yechazkel. And he was brought to the inner chutzner. Meaning, Molly Kavod Hashem Abayis, he saw the covet of Hashem filling up the base of Mikdash. And I heard Midaber Elai Mi'Abayis, someone speaking to me from the base of Mikdash of Yishayahu Midakli. The man, in other words, the Malach that I originally spoke to, was standing right next to me. Vayomer Elai Ben Adon, as Makom Kisiv, as Makom Kapos Raglai, Asher Eshkan Shem Besov Ben Yisrael Olam. This is the place of my throne, so to speak. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is saying, my Kisei Hakavod will rest here, and also the place of my footstool, the sharshaf that's underneath HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feet, Kavi Yachol, where I dwell amongst Bnei Yisrael, will be there forever. No longer will Bnei Yisrael, what's the word for tame, impurify, but not a good word for that, if you can think of it. Is there an English
degrade
word for it? Degrade, knock down, yeah, destroy. My holy name, Hamo Malchayim, Biznusam, Pigre Malchayim, Bamosam. They and their kings, with their Znus, Pigre Malchayim, with the corpses of their kings, Bamosam. Their bumos as well, everything like that, everything they do, no longer will that be done. Pasukas, it says, Visitam Sipam SCP. When they make their threshold, my threshold. And this is something to Mizuzah, see, they're putting their Mizuzahs, their lintels of their doors by my doors, Akira Beniu Benam, and there's just one wall in between me and them. Timashim Kashubitualbosam Asherasu. And thus they have profaned my name with their abominations that they do, with their Rabbuzarva Akhalosam Biapi, and I destroyed them in my wrath. No longer. I'll tell you, Rakko is new, some of the people I'll claim me many. Now it's all going to be gone. And I will dwell amongst them forever. There's a famous Balaturim that mentions that Shachanti Bisocham is the famous line that Shachin Tuf Yud, Bisocham, that Shachin Tuf Yud, that he's going to dwell amongst them for 410 years. That's the first base mitzvah. And then if you look at Shachanti, the first, third, and fifth letters is Shani, is Tuf Chaf, for 420 years altogether. That's a famous Balaturim. There's a lot more to it. It literally is all over the place. This, to me, seems to say against that remez, because we're dealing with their base of Mikdash. It's not 410, 420, it's forever. So you see a little bit of a knockdown that the same word is being used for the third base of Mikdash, and yet it's not going to be for 410, 420, although maybe it could be that it's referring to something else that we're just not getting. But either way, regardless, I always consider that a little bit off. Yeah.
This pasuk is similar to the end of Shia, right? It says, this is played Makom Kisiv and Makom Kapor Raglai.
Very good.
Beginning in the end of the pasuk.
Very good.
Kisiv Aras Adom Raglai.
Very, very good.
Then it says that Makom Kapor Raglai Asher Ashkon Sham B'Tov Bnei Yisrael Olam V'Lo Yitamo. Okay. Uvetigrei Malchem B'Motam. The pasuk over there says V'Yatu V'Ra Uvetigrei Anashim B'Oshim B'Ki.
Very good. That's very good.
Okay.
Your Hatzora.
Yeah, but
because otherwise that's genius, my friend.
But
that's the answer.
Look at the first pasuk.
So I will tell you, there's a famous line in the Gemara that says, what's the difference between Yeshaya and Yechezkel? Yeshaya and Yechezkel both saw the visions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They both were able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in his Kisei HaKavod, and everything like that. But the Gemara says that the difference between them, we don't know, but we saw visions, we understood it a little bit from the beginning of Yechezkel. They saw what HaKadosh Baruch Hu represented and how he ran the world. They were able to see visions of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the world through Malachim and how they worked. So it seems to be... No. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, because that's like the overall plan. I hear what you're saying, more of a general sense. But either way, regardless, the difference is, says the Gemara, Yeshaya was like a Ben Krach. that saw the king. A Ben Kroc, a guy who lives in the city, who got a New York, you lived in Manhattan, right?
Right.
So you don't even notice that there's skyscrapers anymore. But a Ben Kfar, a guy who's never seen, he's a villager, who comes to New York City for the very first time, is in awe over the huge buildings. He can't believe what he sees in front of him. That's the shot. Yechezkel was a person who was shocked by everything he's seeing, and he's just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Yeshaya was someone who's already used to it, so he saw it as just as if it was just there. So maybe there's a diukim that you can make, and those pesukim to hear why Chazal came up with that verse. Atav Adam, and Pasuk Yud. Atav Adam, you, oh man, Haggit is based on all Sabayas. Tell over to Ben Israel what the base of Mikdash is going to look like. Be a Komo, Mam, and a Sam, and therefore they'll be ashamed from their great sins. Maradu, Umadudu, and Tachnis. And they're going to measure the plan that they need to do. They're going to go through everything. They're going to learn what the third base is going to be. Or be Nichlum, Yikolash, or also Tzur Sabayas. If they're ashamed for anything than they did, then Tzur Sabayas, Tukunaso, Motel, Mobal, the Holt Suras, Veskolku, Kosu, Veskolt Suras, Veskolt Suras, everything you need to know over there, hold those some. Then tell them more. Ukstov my name. Write it down in front of their eyes. They'll keep it for themselves and they'll do it for themselves when the time is ready to build this third base of Mikdash. Zostar Tavayas, well, at the time it was the second base of Mikdash. They didn't know that yet. Zostar Tavayas, this is the Torah of everything you need for the base of Mikdash, Al Rosh Ahor, which will be on top of the Harabais. Kokbulo Subusiv Kodesh Kadashim, that area all around will be known as Holy of Holies. In Ezos Torah Tavayas, this is going to be the Torah which is in reference to the base of Mikdash. These are the meters of the Mizbeach. Now that he finished up the base of Mikdash itself, we're now going on to the Mizbeach itself. The Amos, Amma Amma V'Topach. Again, it's going to be an Amma plus an Amma and a Topach, whether that means six Tvachim or seven Tvachim. That was the same basis of the Machlok as we had before.
Six or five over here.
Six or five. Okay, so that's the five that I was referring to. Apparently, they used five Tvachim per Amma, and by the base of Mikdash, they added on six. I don't remember what that referred to, but we'd have to look it up.
Chayka Amma. Parallels.
Oh, and no, because that's what we had from Yechezkel. What I mean is that
this will last forever.
That this will last forever?
This will last forever.
Lo'olam. Didn't we just see the word lo'olam? I thought that was, v'shachanti v'zochem lo'olam in Pasuk Tes. I believe that's it. What do you got?
Is this any different than the second and the first?
Totally. We were talking before, the width and the length was like that, as opposed to the square, and it's huge in comparison to what the base of Mikdash was. The base of Mikdash was 180 by 2 something amos. Oh, 180 by, yeah, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It's like 185 by 135. This is 3,000 amos on each side.
So it's
huge.
How does that
literally huge.
Power?
So Binyamin just said it doesn't fit the amount of space in Harabais, so it'll have to extend at some point. Amos Kanamis, it's an Erevin, that's where it is. From the Elub Amos Benini is. So there's different types of Amos that they use in the Gemara Menachos as well in Sadi Zion. Good. Alright, let's see what we got over here. Either way, the Chiko Amma, the Amma Rocha, the Gvua El Sfosis of Yuzeris, the Gavim is back. Alright, so the back of the Mizbeach, in other words, the size that it's going to be on that side, he says like this, from the foundation upon the ground to the lower shelf is going to be two amos, the shelf being one amma in width. From the smaller shelf to the larger shelf is going to be four amos, one amma in width. Okay, so that's going to be the top of the Mizbeach. And so, Umecheka Orta La Azora, Hatatonishtaim, Amos Roch, Bama Achos, Me Azora, Ksana Ad Azora, Hagidola Arba, Amos Roch, Bama Amma, we just did that fine. The Ha Har El, this is going to be like an area of, I believe it's called a fire. Who Gova Gaga Mizbeach, Minasovivu Lamalu, Mizbeach, right? That's where they put the fire over there. Arba Amos. It's going to have four Amos. Me'aria Lamala Karnos Arba. There's going to be four Amos to the top of the what's it called? Karnos, the corners. The corners of the Mizbeach. Me'aria. Shemes Rei Orech. It's going to be 12 Amos long. The Shemes Rei Rochav. 12 Amos wide. Ravu Arba Ravav. Square on both sides. That's big. I mean, we're talking a real big size. 12 would have been about 16 feet, give or take. That means we're dealing with, these are 8-foot tables. So we're dealing with two of these tables right next to one another all together, and then another two that way. That would have been all together for all four sides. Well, Azara, Arba Esrei Orech, Ba'arba Esrei Rochav, El Arba Esrei Rochav, 14 by 14 by the four squares all together. That's going to be by the Azara, Ba'gvul Saviv Osel, Chati Amma, Ba'chik Lo Amma Saviv, Umalo Seyu, and the ascent that goes up in those Kadim and turns to the east. These are going to be the measurements of the Mizav, the Omeh Asosa, when you make it, La'alosa Lov Ola, to bring up an Ola, the Lizor Lov down, and when you sprinkle upon its blood. You will give it to the Kohanim, the Levim, that are from the children of Tzadok, that are close to me, they need to serve me. And here's what you're going to do. Interesting, by the way, Zerah Tzadok. We spoke about this before, that Tzadok and Itamar, right, were the two children, so to speak, where they, all the all the Kohanim came from.
Wait.
Tzaddik was the one that was chosen by David HaMelech. Yeah.
How did you translate chukos?
The laws. In other words, the measurements of the Mizbeach.
So what's the difference between a mita and a chuk?
Not really. The chuk is like the exact distance. It's more of a general term. Well, the mita was going into the intricacies, like the more general versus the intricacies. The short thing, here we go. Par ben bakar lechatos. They're going to bring a par ben bakar lechat for a korban chatos. Lechat mi damo, you take his blood and a chatos, arba kanozum, you put it on the four corners. This is how you set it up, how you make the chanukah from his bayach, so to speak. Arba panos azar to the four corners, pinos azar. I'm sorry, the four corners of the azar, al gvul saviz, and the borders all around, the pitezos of the kibarto. You will purify it, and you'll be makapar, you'll get a kapara for everything, you'll clear it off. The lechat is a parachatos, you'll take that parachatos, you'll swap with the mitkad habayis, you'll burn it at the edge of the house, outside the base of Mikdash. I don't know exactly where that was, especially if we were talking about the third base of Mikdash, but around there. Biyamashani, on the second day, Takrim Sirizim Tamim, you'll take it seems like there were two perfect goats, lechatos. The kitzvah is Mizrakash Rechit of Apar, you do the same thing, take the blood, put it all around, etc. The Kalos Kamechate, Takri Parben Makar Tamim, when you finish that chate, then you do another Parben Makar Tamim, the Ayomin Atzon Tamim. The Yikrakal Hashem, you bring them in front of Hashem, Yishluchu Akwanim Aleim Melach, and then the Kohanim would sprinkle salt upon it. That's to remind us of the bris melach. Nowadays, it's one of the reasons why we dip our bread in salt, because our mizbeach nowadays is our shulchan, and the meat and the bread that refers to it, so to speak, as if we're being makrit something on the mizbeach, that bread that we're eating always gets salt in it. That's why we dip it in salt.
You also shouldn't cut your challah with a knife.
It's actually pretty good, because you can't use the metal stuff. But we do shchita on the animals that we bring
up
on the mizbeach. No, not on the mizbeach itself. That's why you pick up the bread. You're right. No, it is true. The best thing to do, it's brought down by the Shulchan Aruch, and almost all the different poskim say they don't use the word right sakin. I mean, you see it in like the later Achronim, but it seems to be tzia is what they usually call it. Splitting it up. Or they're overcompensating for something. By the way, but there are.
Why would you use salt on the meat also?
That's why. Salt on the meat is really to get rid of the blood. That's a different issue altogether. But, you know, it's obvious that that's the other reason behind it. But by the way, you should know, I got into a big fight with it. If anybody remembers Or Gera, when they were getting married to him. So Or Gera and I, he was the one who first brought it up with Yareen. Yareen and Or were both in the shir. They're just like, no, you're supposed to split it apart. And I'm like, nah, you said nice. And there's even a shame of Hashem, of Chatach. They're like, no, Chatach applies when you cut the bread with your own hands. You're supposed to put it together. I said, Poseach Hashem Decha, you're supposed to have the hands open before, and then you go through. Okay, regardless, I looked it up. They were right. It's very rare that I'll say that, but they were definitely right. And then I realized that the knife was really, but yeah, it's strength. It is strength.
That is the reason why you don't hand the bird to somebody. You possibly put it down because
you have to put it down beforehand. Yeah, you have to put it down beforehand. Toss? No. You can't toss.
Yes.
Although I have seen it. I have seen it. I know. I have seen it. But you have to put it down.
You don't take it down. Or toss in the same way, but as long as you're not like, flinging it.
Yeah, they're flinging. You're flinging it. You're supposed to put it down, but you are right. You can't put it into someone's hand directly.
Right. That's the stuff. Yeah. One is because guy comes from God. The second one is the aliens do that.
The other one take it straight from
God. When somebody do the meal after the
Shiva,
somebody has to go to the other one's hand with the bread.
Oh, very good. Very good. He did that done directly? I've never seen that.
No, I did that once. I gave one to my dad so he should had a hand in the bread.
He handed him the bread. So I wonder if that's a starting vinegar in Ashkenazi. I wonder if that's Ashkenazi. I don't know if I've seen it. All right, here we go. Shivas Yomim, Tasa Sir Chatzis Layom. 7 days. You're going to do this. You're going to be a Sir Chatzis Layom, a Parvin Mark of Ayomin that's done to me. Yeah, so you're going to do that. Now, stop for a second. Did anybody see anything right here? Is that 7 days including that first day of the par? Or is that 7 days after that? These are the days of the Niluim that we're going to consecrate the Mizbeach when the base mixture is first made. But is that 7 days after that first day? Or is this 7 days
after the David?
What do you got over here? What do we have? Shivat Yom Kedarash also Yom Hashani. Can you ask about close Shivat Yom? I would assume that 8 days. That would be the 8 days altogether. Let's assume that Shivat Yom for those 7 days. Yechapuos Mizbeach. Yitzaros on they purify the Milu Yodav. They dedicate. Yechapuos Yomim when the days are over. Yom Hashani Vaholah from that 8 day. The word we're learning it right now, it's the ninth day, unless we're learning it incorrectly. From then on, Yasua Kwanam Olizak with Olosechem, the Shalmechem, they'll bring all of your Olos, your Shlomim, and I'm going to accept it for myself, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mendal. Now he brought me over to the gate of the Beis HaMikdash, the outer Beis HaMikdash, that face toward the east, Usagur. It was closed. That makes sense, because if Kodesh Baruch Hu was coming through the east, it would be closed. It's going to be closed. It'll never be open. No man will go through it. That's why it's going to be closed. It's going to be that way completely forever. As a Nasi, Nasi who? The king. He is the king. Rashi says, as a Nasi, and you notice in Rishus, Nasi who? The Koshma in Dark Elisha, Velechlam, Sharakwan, and Velishkos. So he's there, Yeshebo. He's allowed to sit there. Le'echol, Lechem, with Mashem. He can eat bread in front of a Kodesh Baruch. I'm assuming he's not allowed to eat Lechem upon him. This must be referring to other bread that he's allowed to eat. But the king is allowed. And that was true by Malchus Beis David. The Malchus Beis David was allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash and eat while no other Malachim were. That's one of the reasons why Yerubam ben Nevat, if you remember, didn't want the people doing Aliyah L'Regel. If they did Aliyah L'Regel and they saw that the king of Rechavim was able to sit and he wasn't, they might think that he's greater than him. You'll come through that gate. Midarko Yetzei, and he'll go through that gate. Is that gate? Yeah, it seems like the eastern gate that nobody else goes through. He's going to be able to go through there. Yeah.
It says that the Rabbi says that the bread or the leftover
of the Shlomen.
Right.
A Toda should be. I don't think there was bread right now. Yeah, I don't think there was of anything else. Where is it? Oh, so he's saying it's not even bread, it's the meat of the shlomen. It makes sense, though, by the Toda as well. That's interesting, though, because why would he eat it there? He's allowed to eat it anywhere near Shalayim. The halakhos would be different in the Beis HaMikdash in the future, but normally the king didn't need it in that area. Alright, now he brought me to the northern gate by the front of the Beis HaMikdash, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechin, filled up the Beis HaMikdash, apple of Hanaya, fell down in my face, seeing that covenant of Hashem. But you're my last Hashem. Pay attention. Look with your eyes and hear with your ears. Shema is kol asher ani medaber osach, everything I tell you. And pay attention to the entrance of Bechomot Soya Mikdash and all the exits of the Mikdash as well. And you'll say to the embittered, to Bnei Yisrael, I've had enough of all your abominations, Bnei Yisrael. When all the strangers, and this is not referring to Goyim, this is referring to Jews who have estranged their deeds from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they bring Orlei Leva, Orlei Basar, those who have orals of their hearts and orals of the flesh, in other words, they mamish did not get a bris milah, and people that don't have their hearts circumcised to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they go into my mikdash to machalo my bayis, they bring my lechem, the fats and the blood, they break my covenant with you by all their abominations. L'shmartem, mishmar is kadoshi, right? They do not keep the mishmar is my kachim, but it's mainly l'shomri mishmar to be kadoshi l'chem. And therefore, you should place for yourselves men, right, that are going to watch my watch in the Beis HaMikdash that are not going to be able to come in. Any non-Jew, if he's an arolev or arolbasser, that means if he's not into it, right, in his heart, and if he doesn't have an orlev, a mila in the flesh. Lo yavol mitzvah, he's not allowed to my Beis HaMikdash. All the Bnei Nechor asher b'zopin Yisrael. Now, Chazal learned from here again, this is the law that was only learned by Yechezkel, because I'll say it was Gemara, they already knew about this. They learned it, Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and it was only written down by Yechezkel, that a Jew that did not have a bris mila, even if he couldn't, in other words, there was a chazaka by his brothers that died, so that he couldn't get a bris mila, nonetheless he couldn't enter the Beis HaMikdash. We don't know what Oral Lev means, we don't have a way of defining that, but that's what we say by Oral Basser, and they learn at Kalva Homer from there that a non-Jew was not allowed to enter the sides of the Beis HaMikdash as well. They learned that out from these two, come over here, Kim Alavim, Asherachakum Yalai. I'm sorry? It wouldn't matter. They're called Arelim. It's Gemara Nedarim. If you say that I'm making a nether from all the Arelim, that includes any non-Jew, and even if a Jew doesn't have a circumcision, he's not called an Arel. He's not called an Arel. If you say kol amulin, then any Jew, right, even a Jew that doesn't have a circumcision is what you're being an neder from, but all non-Jews, even if a non-Jew has a circumcision, they're not included in that. Those are what the nedarim, that's what it says in nedarim.
Targum translates it as Rashi Eliba, meaning people who are like wicked heart. They maybe mean people who just don't have a heart. Well, so we're difficult to say, doesn't have a heart.
How do you define that when you're looking at a person and you're saying, no, you don't make it in. You don't have a heart. Like the Tin Man won't make it in. You know what I'm saying? Like, who else doesn't make it in? That's what I'm saying. The definition of that thereof. I don't think anybody can do it. Although, then again, Mashiach is Morach Badoyim. He's able to smell the people that were guilty. So perhaps Mashiach was the one who was going to be able to say that. What? People that were guilty of this, of being an oral wave. Most people, you know, that they want, they just can't. You know, maybe those people would be allowed in. Now, the word over here in Yud is an interesting word, but Kima Levim, Asherachako Mi'alai, Bisotisro Ashertom Mi'alai, Akri Gululayim, Benasu Avonam, those Levim that kept themselves far away from me, when Bnei Yisrael were making mistakes and going after their idols, Benasu Avonam, they will carry their sin. Unfortunately, these Levim seem like they will never be able, right, to fully work in the Beis HaMikdash again. But even Toshim is shorts and pekudos, they will instead be servants, that they will be appointed, well, Shari Bais to the gates of the house, and shorts and misvais, and will serve in that way. Hemi Yishkat was a Ola, they could still shak the Korban Ola, that's a Zevach La'av. The Hema Yamdu Levim and shorts, and they can stand in front of them to serve them. But other than that, they can't do much else. Anybody could shak, even a Yisrael could shak. Yanisher, I just saw a Shaila not so long ago, I forgot where I saw it, it might have been in the Red Vaz. Can a woman shak in the Beis HaMikdash? Can a woman shak in the Beis HaMikdash? It was a good kasha, because the question was, aside from, can they be in the Azara? Can they make it into the Azara? And if they can't, can they make it to Azras Yisrael? And then the question was, could they shak? Does it count as a shchita? And I believe it came out yes. I don't remember it offhand. It was a massive Shaila, I just didn't have time to go through all of it. I don't talk to them, thank God. It doesn't matter. The answer is short, so some with Negev Lehem, because they served them in front of their idols, and they were, for Bnei Yisrael, a sin. Unfortunately, they stumbled. They made other people stumble. If you remember, Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe / ben Moshe was the lady who served for Micha. He caused others to sin. Therefore, my hand goes upon them. They were influential leaders, these Levim. They were teachers of Klal Yisrael, and they're teaching them to do this. Now I'm mad, Numa Shem. And therefore they're going to carry their sin.
Well, this is kind of a little bit off topic, but why does somebody get to be a teacher because of his birthright? That's kind of like appointing somebody to be a grand rabbi.
So it's funny.
His father,
right? Yeah, I mean, we see throughout the Torah, there's Yehuda, the Mechokik, right? The word Mechokik is used by them. By Menashe, they say that Menashe was in both lands because there were teachers. The Netziv says the reason why they were split up in both lands because there were teachers. Shimon was supposed to be a teacher that went throughout Klal Yisrael, and that's why they were in city after city after city.
Yeah, but this,
Yaakov talks about that. But you're right. No, I'm saying.
Maybe that guy from Ephraim is a good teacher.
It sounds more like that was the general regard that shit had with they specialized in, but certainly there were individuals that could break the mold and they could do things on their own. It's just that they were like that. And of course, I mean, if the Levim didn't fit the mold or the Menasheans wouldn't fit the mold, you'd assume that someone would say to them, you're not a teacher, you shouldn't be doing this. But then again, we have seen throughout Klal Yisrael, the Levim seem to be on a different level. Maybe they stayed in a kolo-like existence, even if they weren't good enough to be teachers, and they got paid for through Maeser Rishon and Maeser Ani, etc., and that's that.
They were in the midbar, or just went into Eretz Yisrael when it was a very small amount. So, especially Kohanim, they're working full time year round in the Beis HaMikdash. So they have to, right?
They got to, well, not full year. They work 2 weeks every year.
No, I'm talking about
in the beginning
when there were like four Kohanim.
Oh, that's what you mean. Yeah, in the very beginning. Like, but as time went on,
you did work 2 weeks.
You'd assume that a lot of
like going to the army in reserve.
Yeah,
like,
you'd assume that a lot of that side jobs. You'd assume,
of course,
that they did stuff like that. Just maybe not agriculturally. So if you're dealing with an agricultural nation, which the nation was for the first 300-400 years, it seems.
Everybody was.
Right. You'd assume for that amount of time, well, there still had to be businessmen, there still had to be other people. Zulin was the Sokrim, it says, but I'm assuming there were other people that had to do other things. There had to be tailors, there had to be, you know, butchers, there had to be other people that were working. Maybe the Levim and the Kohanim did stuff like that. We don't know. Honestly, you need a historian to be able to tell you something like that, but I am a new dean here in Yeshiva. That's one of his expertise in Jewish history.
But about like what had time
somebody's recently
nothing. Literally nothing. I mean, you have to ask somebody like him. I really don't know, but I don't believe so. Yeah. Anyway, because you have Josephus. That's correct. Because Josephus wrote a lot about what the world was like. If you can take what he says, right? Because we don't know if he had a bent toward or a leaning toward one way or the other. But he did write a lot. Josephus.
This is one of the coolest things I saw at the museum. Is they have an amulet from the time of Ayas Rishon and it has a Birkas Kohanim on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The actual Birkas Kohanim in the amulet?
And you can't see it. It's all black. And
they tell you what it is.
At the bottom, it says it. Like,
it's probably not even there. Here we go. So look what it says right here. It says, so again, because they serve these idols, these Levim can't go. But they can no longer serve me in Pasuk Yud Gimel. But I guess I'll call Kodesh Ayah, Kodesh Kodesh, and they can't serve in the Kodesh Kodesh. They also claim also they're going to carry their shame, so Abos Masharasu, and their abomination that they did. It's sad. But the fact is, these are halakos. A kohen that kills someone cannot do Birchas Kohanim for the rest of his life. There's nothing he can do about that. If the kohen is mechalo himself, his children, well, he can't be mechalo himself, but if he marries a woman that he's not supposed to marry, then his children are chalalim for the rest of their lives. There's nothing you can do about it. A mamzer is the same way. It's not that, why does he get to? Call it unfortunate, but you are responsible for your children. You do it. And just like we accepted the Torah through our parents, so too, the ego also affects us to this day. Decisions of the parents always affect the children in some way, shape, or form. Unfortunately.
You said like moms there, same thing.
That Israeli soldier who kills somebody who is a Kohen is allowed to do a Birkas.
Yeah, I've heard that before also. That if you're killing in war, it's different. I don't know why. Remember the Dovid HaMelech wasn't allowed to build a base of Mikdash because he was a warlike figure. But that might be for another issue. But it's not kill some so many mishmaras of ice. Instead, they're going to be guards. Well, it's a good job for the killer. For everything that he does. When all Bnei Yisrael went against me, but these Kohanim, they served me. They stayed. Hey, these people, they're my people. They will serve me again. They're going to bring me the chel and the dam. They're going to come to base mishmar. They're going to come to my table to serve me. When they come toward the inner court, the inner chamber, I should say, big day they're going to wear linen clothing, which is obviously the big day kuna. Everything was made of linen. Bad is the wording that's used in the chumash itself. They will not wear wool when they come in, right? When they come inside. Now that's an interesting thing because the Kohen Gadol certainly wore wool, right? The Mi'il was definitely made of blue wool. It was made of tchelas. There's no question about that. Number one, they make the yukim from here that the avnate of the Kohen Gadol, right, even on Yom Kippur, was only made of linen, not of a mixed substance, which is machlokas in the Gemara and Yuma. That is machlokas over there. But not only that, you see over here, this is seemingly referring to the Kohen Gadol. Maybe the Kohen Gadol wore the linen clothing that he wore on Yom Kippur, the white linen clothing, maybe he wore that all year long. But it's interesting, they should not put on semer when they come close. Pari Pishim Yor Roshim. But either way, the Kohanim, the Kohen of Yotos, they definitely only wore linen. They had the hat, as we all know, the Pari Pishim Yor Roshim, that's going to be the hat on top of their head. Michnesi Pishim Yor Mosneim. They had belts of Pishtim on their loins. They should not put it in a sweaty place. We learn from there where the belt is supposed to go. It's interesting. You think that it goes down here, the belt. It didn't. It went further up around the chest area, but not by the area of the armpit. That's called the Yoza. It's not there, but it's here. There's an interesting minute by Hasidim that they wear the gartel, right? So it's funny. They say, it's a funny joke the way they go, but the way they say it is that the point of the gartel is to separate the Kedusha from the Tumah. That the Tumah is down below and the Kedusha is over here. So the Hasidim try to make sure that the only thing that's Tameh is that area and down, so they put it in the gartels as low as you can get. You see Hasidim put on gartels, it's mamish like below their waist, a little bit below their waist, right there. So Litvox, this is a joke from the Hasidim, Litvox want to shtickle more Olam Hazeh. Oyum Haza, they call it. So they lift up the gartel a little bit, so the gartel's like around their stomach, right? It goes a little bit further up. I'm sorry? There are litvaks that still wear gartels. It is mentioned because of Tosfos. You'll see them. There are litvaks that still wear gartels. The Arabs wear it on their head. That's the line that the Chassidim use. I heard that once from a Chassid and I laughed out loud. Regardless, it's a good one. But you shouldn't put in the Yozda, it should be a little bit further down. When they go out to the outer Chassar, again, they got to take out that clothing that the servant with the Nichols and Belushkos, okay, just leave it in the chambers. They should wear other clothing. They cannot be Mekadish, the people with their Begavim. They can't mix in with the people within that. The word Kadesh also means to mix in. If you remember from Kilayim, that if you have Kilayim that's together, it's called Kodesh. They mix it in together. Roshom Lo Yigalechu. Now, these are interesting lines. Really interesting halachos. Roshom Lo Yigalechu. They cannot shave their heads completely. Paralo Yishalechu. They should not let their heads get really wild. Kosom Yichsimu Es Roshayim. They have to cut their hair short. The kasha is how short they can get. They say so that every hair was able to touch the next. That's not that it was. They consider that. I've been told a two. I've been told a two is what it's referring to on our, you know, on our razors nowadays. Remember, they didn't have razors back then, right? They had razors. They didn't have the electric shavers, so it's difficult to say. What's up?
The Kohen Gadol got a haircut before you kicked
once a week.
That was her,
once a week.
That was where each hair overlapped the next.
This is what you're referring to. It's called the haircut of Ben Alasa, who was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That's what we refer to, and this is exactly what you're referring to. It's that haircut, which each one turned to the next.
Isn't this supposed to be one of the Gonai's just high school for him?
There was a couple.
This was one of them.
Yeah, I believe this is one. There's a lot of them over here. The one of them we're going to come up to, it has to do with meat. Either way, it's going to say, the Yainlu, oh, the Chabbez, I think, is the one. Yainlu Yishtu Kokoin Bavon Lachatzar Peninus. They can't drink wine. Now, we know that from the Torah itself. They're not allowed to drink wine when they're going to the Chatzar Peninus. Now, Almanu Grushal Yichul Ham Lanashim. There's a big kasha about that, by the way, when they would. But this is the big one. The Almanu Grushal Yichul Ham Lanashim. A Kohen cannot take a widow or a divorcee woman as wives. Kim Besulos Mizar Visal, only virgins from the children of an Israel of Almana Sharti Almana Mikoin Yikahu. But they could take a widow that was widowed from another Kohen. This law, we have no idea what it refers to. And this is one of the reasons why they wanted to be Goni Zechesko and Shabbos in the first parak, because this halacha doesn't exist. A Kohen Gadol can't marry an Almana or a Grusha. Can't marry an Almana from anybody, right? Can't marry an Almana from anybody or a Grusha. A Kohen Hedyot cannot marry a Grusha, but he can marry an Almana. It doesn't matter if it's an Almana from another Kohen or a regular Almana. So what is this referring to?
What's Gemara's answer?
I can't remember offhand. Let's see if it says it over here. That's what it is. From the Kohanim, there are those that can take an almana.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you learn it up.
The
almana, mikoin yikahu. Okay, so either way, it's weird. It's weird, but that's the way it is. I remember there was something else. It was a drush on this, but I don't remember what the drush is.
Yeah, the rules will change for crying.
No, that's what they said. It can't happen. Right. That's it. You can't change the Torah. That was what the Gemara said. You can't change the Torah. Yechezkel can't do that. And that's why they wanted to be Goniz in. Because they couldn't understand how they did
maybe
it.
Maybe they're not going to like this.
Yeah.
Maybe the interpretation of the Torah was different and got reinterpreted in time of the second base.
It's difficult to say that because it's a pretty clear pasuk in Amor. It's a pretty clear pasuk. I hear you. But Hananiah ben Chizkiya was the one who took up, if everybody remembers, 300 barrels of oil up to an attic and sat in Darshan Yechezkel to Menchomer until he came out with all the answers so that they wouldn't be Goniz Yechezkel. Hananiah ben Chizkiya was a Tana of one of the later generations, probably around Rebbe Akiva, around that time, one of the later generations of Tanaim after the Zugos. That's when he was able to do such a thing and was able to figure it all out. Of which, with Yechezkel, seemingly to remind the Kohanim of what they had to do. Plus, we've seen some halachos here that we didn't know about. This is a halacha that we just don't know about, if we do it correctly, as well as the katzom yichsimu, how exactly their hair should be. There are some chedushim that he's saying over here. It's sort of like going through the Arein Miklat Yoshua, when Yoshua actually does it. Now that it's here, let's just make a reminder. You'll see, he's also going to test the Kohanim. He's going to test them soon, so we're going to see this. Yeah, this is all quoted all over the place. That's Ami Yoru, right? My people, you should teach me in Kodesh the whole, the differences between what's Kodesh and what's Kol. In other words, there are certain things, Tuman Tower, those types of things. You got to tell them all the laws. Now read, Hemi Abdul Mishpat, on any judgment, on any fight, they are going to stand Lamishpat. And usually the Kohanim were there. The Kohanim were the ones who had time to learn all the time. So therefore, because of that, they were there. they'll learn my mishpatim, and they'll do it yishbetu, I'm sorry. That's so it's not as good, they'll keep all those, and make my Shabbos holy by, again, telling everybody how to keep Shabbos. We all know that they should stay away from dead people. Reverse, that says it. It says it's amazing. He says that the priests of Christianity are priests of the dead. They teach people what life is going to be like after they die, what they have to look forward to in the world to come. Their churches are surrounded by death. The point is to scare the people into submission. Our religion is supposed to be a Torah of life. The Quantum teach them how to live. They're not allowed to give a eulogy. They're not allowed to be at a funeral. That we don't want to associate our Quantum, our priests, with the dead at all. That's the idea he tries to
say. And you can see the priests are not special Christianity, but other religious priests' jobs, like last rites and, like, you know.
Correct. That's what he does, right? And really, the one that set me the most is the fact that their churches are surrounded by cemeteries. In Europe, you'll see it quite often also. I think that's a copy from the non-Jews, and it might be because they had to. Maybe the non-Jews wouldn't let them bury anywhere else. But that was only a copy in Europe. Nowhere else do we have such a thing.
So it was cheaper because young land.
You might as well take everything and use it. I agree with you. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Mesa Dom Loyava Latama, they can't become tummy for anybody. It says, Ki'im La'arvu La'aim La'bainu La'bas La'achu La'achos Asher Lohai Sali'ish. So a father, mother, son, daughter, to brother, sister that had not been married, Yitamahu. Then they can become tummy. Now, it is interesting he leaves out the wife. And it's not so crazy because in the Pasuk itself, it also leaves out the wife in the Chumash and Parshas Damor. And we only learn it from a drusha, right? Ba'al Bama Vahechalo. But otherwise, it is interesting that it doesn't mention the wife over here as well. The Akhlai Tara Sotri, Sar Siva Gemi Sulo.
Before we picked Shiva for his sister who was married, right?
Don't we learn the
Shiva rules, or in general, for not just Kohen, but the Shiva rules are learned out from the relative that a Kohen cannot become.
I never learned enough Hilchos Avilos. Hashem's never applied to me. No, I've never gone through it. I don't know.
Gemara.
Moed Katan. I don't remember Moed Katan.
That's the source for the.
I don't remember. There are some things that are learned from here, but I'm not positive. So on the next day, meaning 7 days he sits in Tuma, to the inner chatzah of Sharis Bekodesh to serve Yaakov Chatzos and Hashem Elokim. He brings this korban chatzos. At that time, he brings the korban chatzos for himself. That'll be an inheritance. As a side note, by the way, if he's referring to the third base of Mikdash, he's referring to the Kohanim serving the third base of Mikdash, and he's referring to the Kohanim having to go to a funeral for one of these, that means there's going to be death by the time of the third base of Mikdash. There are opinions that say that by the time it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that by the time of the third base of Mikdash, when Mashiach comes, so there is not, there will be no death by Jews.
It's not true.
So,
we just learned about Gog and Magog.
Gog and Magog, see, that's the Kasha. The Kasha is when this third base of Mikdash is being built. Is it being built before? Is it being built after? Is it being built before Mashiach? Is it being built after Mashiach? Chiasmism won't matter as much. Chiasmism is more like at the end of Yemos Mashiach. I'm saying for those that say, unlike the Rambam, right? The Rambam Pasen's Yemos Mashiach is our world plus.
And
Shmuel and the Gemara. I mean, he's getting it from Shmuel, right? If you're learning like the Rambam, then it will be a little bit different. But unlike Shmuel, there are those that say that by the times of Mashiach will already have lost that, and really is based on Shitas in the Gemara, on Morayim in the Gemara, right? This Pasuk would seem to argue, unless the third base of Mikdash came before Mashiach came. Okay, either way, let's go on. They get to eat the minakos. Those are kachi kachim. Any cherem b'Yisrael, anything that the Bnei Yisrael dedicates to the base of Mikdash will be theirs. Reish kol bikurei kol, they get the first of everything. Kol trumas kol, they get the first of the trumas. Kol trumas sechem lakoanim yeh, goes to the koanim. Reish avriso sechem tino lakoin. Obviously chala, right, the first of the dough. L'aniach bracha v'sakha, will give you a bracha to your house. As a side note, by the way, I just want to point out, if anybody does bake challah, it's a common misnomer. It's really not good to bake the challah piece with other things in the oven at the same time. The challah piece is straight. So if you happen to bake challah and take up your mafresh challah, so it really should be cooked on its by itself in the oven and then thrown out afterward once it becomes blackened and whatever it is. But to put it with other things at the same time is not the best thing to do. Now here's the pasuk that they also were very upset about. Look at this pasuk. Nevela and trefa from any oaf or behema The Kohanim can't eat. What's the deal? Kohanim can't eat, but regular Jews can eat nevelos and trefas. That's it seems it comes out every year. So look what Rashi says. It is an obvious answer. Lepi shehutra lehem malika. What's malika? Kohanim are allowed to eat the little birds, the chatzis oaf, the chatzis, well, the olas oaf were entirely birds, the chatzis oaf, when they went like that, without regular shvita, using their fingernails, their thumbnails, in order to cut them. Right? So since they're already mutter to eat malika, maybe they'll be able to eat regular nevelos and trefas. That's how the Gemara says. That's why we have to warn them. And regarding the animals, I forgot what the animals were. The Gemara says it. I don't remember. It's in the Nachos. Where is what? Does anybody have that other Gemara about what animals? Does it say it anywhere? It
says Memheim and Aleph.
No, maybe there is no. Maybe that's the only thing over here. I thought there was something we learned from the Bahamas as well. Literally, the last one I've heard is I'm Dalit. And that's that. Okay, but that's always, I mean, it's such a crazy type of a line, right, that we learned from over here. Such a crazy line over here. Okay.
Says that pasuk is more of just like an emphasis.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, wait, is Mr. Kenneth. That's it. The Malvin brings it down. Yeah, an animal that's in danger of dying, right? So you think maybe that would apply with a nevela trefa. Maybe that's a nevela trefa. No, that's not a problem. Yeah, what's up?
The Radak says it's more of emphasizing that they should stay away from this stuff. Obviously, everybody is supposed to stay away, but all the more so
it's just
these guys.
More so because they're so holy, you got to be even more away from it. That's a good call.
We're defining a trefa as one that's already dying.
The difference in a nevela and a trefa is something that was sected improperly. A nevela is something that died on its own, right?
No, a nevela also sected improperly. A trefa is an animal you open up after proper
shakti. Oh, I'm sorry, guys, that is the exact opposite way of what it is. You're 100% right. A nevela is sected improperly. The trefa is something trafe inside it. It's the opposite way. You know that the animal is dying. You see that it's dying. Something's wrong with it. Yeah. That's why it goes, all right, we'll stop with first. Menhe. That means next.